And when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way, then I look at you and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
It's a lovely day. Good morning, it's KX 93.5. Hello, I'm Jason Petty. As your full English breaks, I sound very much like I'm awake, don't I? But I'm actually asleep. It's Sunday morning, for goodness sake. Full English breakfast on KX 93.5. You may not have noticed yet because you're all asleep, but I'm very British, and today, on a Sunday morning, we have British things for an hour. So what happens is, I invite a guest and we talk about whatever we want to talk about, and we play music that the guest has brought in or has sent me a list of. And today is no exception. John Rogers is here. Let me make sure I get the correct mic here, sir. Would you like to say hello?
Good morning.
Good morning,
Jason. How are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah. Yeah, doing okay. Thanks for coming in.
No problem at all.
It's early on a Sunday and it's a bit raha.
It is.
But, yeah.
Luckily, Rosie got me up this morning, my daughter.
Rosie's here with, she's got her pink iPad. Very cute. Smiling. She knows she's cute. She knows it. She's cute and she knows it, man.
Yeah.
And we're in Laguna Beach, California, and it's going to be sunny. It's a bit misty right now, but it's going to be a beautiful day. We started out with Bill Withers' Lovely Day. Favourite of yours?
Lovely. Great, yeah. Song to wake up to in the morning.
Nice.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah,
Bill Withers.
Yeah, he's a national treasure, actually, really. Old Bill Withers. He lives in, like, I think it's Pacific Palisades. It's not far away.
I did not know that.
Did you know that he hated the music business, so he quit to raise his children? His wife's a lawyer.
Wow. That's off to him, right?
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. There's a movie called I Am Bill or something like that, and He doesn't really want to talk to the camera. He loved playing music, but he hated the business of it. He hated, wow, Hollywood and all that. Down to earth guy from the deep south.
Brilliant. You hear of a few actors doing that as well, just giving up acting and looking
just
after kids.
It
and
yeah,
beautiful.
It is brilliant, really. Because very must be very tempting to sort of just, even if you hate the Hollywood lifestyle, just be part of it. Just because, you know, you get to hang out with actors. And
I'm not sure I could do
people.
It.
Yeah, no, you're not that kind of bloke, John. You have a very Scottish accent, but you are English, so we haven't strayed, yeah, from the name of the show this week.
No, I was born in a place called Littlehampton, just outside Brighton.
Littlehampton, eh?
Littlehampton, little borough down there on the south coast of England.
All right.
Then moved up to Scotland when I was 5 years old. So my parents moved up there. I had a very, very posh home counties accent.
Yes.
So it was...
So you took your Littlehampton up to Scotland.
It did. I did. So it was an interesting first day at school.
Why did they go to Dunblane?
My dad was working in Glasgow, and they just wanted to go to an area just outside Glasgow. So it's about 40 miles north.
It was a work thing. Your dad had to go to work.
That's right.
I see, yeah.
To pay for the food.
Yeah, and you went to a state school, an ordinary school.
Dunblane Primary School,
and
Dunblane High School.
And you showed up like, yes, hello.
I think my first day, I was taken up to the front of the class and said, "Oh, hello there." It's like a scene out of Aliens. So the Scottish kids were like, "What is that? What is that?" So
were they nice to you? Were they hot? Because at that age, they could be nice.
They were nice. They were nice. It was. I had a great time.
If you'd have showed up at 16,
it'd have been trouble.
It'd have been a very different scene, wouldn't it?
It would have been terrible. I think I don't know. I think I was saying to you last time about. My fashion sense wasn't that good, so I was there with flares, long blonde hair, the wrong colour tie.
You were 5 years old, though.
I know, but...
It was your parents.
It carried on for about 15 years, though.
Did it? It's never quite got the fashion thing down. Not no. For you.
Not for me, no, no. I'm still trying to learn.
Well, you moved up to Scotland, and how long did it take to develop your Scottishness?
Well, you know what, Jason? I think if I'm in Scotland, they think I'm English. If I'm in England... they think I'm Scottish, so...
Yeah, I know that thing, because you sound Scottish to me. But I'm sure if I was Scottish, I'd be like, yeah, Sassenach.
Exactly. So probably about 4 or 5 years to sort of say the, "Hi, how you doing?"
"Hi, by the way."
Rather than saying yes. And you have to, like, drink Iron Brew, which is an orange fizzy drink.
It's a fabulous drink, the Iron Brew, yeah.
And, can cure all evil. So Iron Brew's good. Get used to haggis.
Take stains out of your clothes with that.
You can.
Well, thanks for coming. Well, I'll play a song.
Yes.
And you've brought a bunch of music. That's cool. Just played Bill Withers' Lovely Day. I've got Stone Roses next in the list. Fantastic. How's that? Should we do that?
Yeah. Which one was that?
It's called Made of Stone.
Oh, I love that one.
Now, I don't know that much about the Stone Roses. Because I was living in Manchester when the Stone Roses were big, so you would think I would know everything about them, wouldn't you?
You should do.
I know, but I was doing a lot of drugs. So the Stone Roses, Made of Stone, here on KX 93.5. It's Full English Breakfast with me, James Fenning. John Rogers will wake up incrementally as the show goes on. Good morning.
Napoleon, are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire!
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
Quite right, God save the Queen.
KX93.5.
It's KX93.5, it's Laguna's only FM. Yeah, British Hair Company. My wife went there the other day for something, not allowed to say what. But she went there and she came back looking very beautiful. So you can always rely on the British Hair Company to make you look lovely. John Rogers is here. It's KX93.5's Full English Breakfast. Hello, John, again.
Good morning again.
Yes, we have to keep saying this because you never know, people might have just be tuning in.
Late joiners.
If you're just tuning in, where have you been? You know what? Punctuality, very important.
It is very
important. Are you a punctual man? Are you a man who shows up on time?
Very much so.
Are you?
I turn up 3 hours before a flight.
Did you learn to do that, or is this an innate thing for you?
Innate thing for me.
It is?
Yeah. Can't stand being late. Got to get there on time.
It's taken me years to figure it out.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm an on-time dude now. But I've had to do courses to learn how to do it.
There's courses for this?
Oh, yeah. There are courses where you go and you are ostensibly there to learn. They're consulting you about business practice or productivity or just your general attitude. Get out of your malaise, whatever it is, right? And they will focus on being punctual to the point where if you're late a minute for this course, they call you up in front of the class and you spend 20 minutes discussing your lateness. And that's terrible for the people that paid to be on this course, to waste 20 minutes on your lack of punctuality. It's utterly embarrassing, completely makes you feel guilty. And that's, in the end, that's what forced me to be, you know, punctual.
That sounds like a good idea. I might try that at work.
Yeah, you should do. You should tell them, you know, because the thing about that is, if you're not, it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're all flustered and you get to do your meeting and you forget where you are and you're not only are you late, because generally if you're late, you've forgotten a pen or you've forgotten something else or where you are or what, you're not prepared. You
know? No, that's not good.
So, I was thinking it might have come, because you're a sporty dude, aren't you?
I am. I was. I used to play a lot of sport, rugby, soccer, squash, tennis. Rosie, my daughter, that's his, laughing at me right now because...
Well, you're laughing because you can't imagine your dad on the squash court.
You know what, I'm really good with anything with a ball.
Right.
So I can do anything when it comes to anything, like swimming, skiing, terrible. My daughters are both good swimmers, water polo, all that sort of stuff.
They're little California girls though, aren't they?
They actually beat me now at swimming.
Yeah.
I look like a foreign object in the water. It's not good.
It's not a Scottish sport though, is it, swimming?
No.
Oddly, golf is though. Do you play golf?
I play a wee bit. My dad ran a golf course at a place called Mockett, right in the centre of Scotland. So you needed crampons on your feet to get round.
Right, freezing cold and whatever.
Yeah, it was kind of a horizontal range.
Craggy.
For most of the 18 holes, and used to have a little bit of whiskey on the third to kind of keep you warm.
Yeah.
You used to start hugging other golfers as well.
You didn't wait till the 18th hole there. As soon as you got on the course.
You wouldn't be alive. It was hard. And then, you know, there's plenty of sheep, cows on the fairways and, trying to miss them.
But what about rugby? Is that, because that's very much a contact sport and very a hard game.
Played a
lot of drinking in rugby as well.
Played a lot of rugby at school. Played from a school first 15, which is the first team.
What position did you play?
So I played most of the time either at standoff or flanker.
Flanker.
That's the man who has to tackle everything. And then I realised I was, I'm not the biggest of guys. I'm about 180, 190 pounds. So my last game was about 21. I got stamped on my neck. And the referee came and looked at me and said, "No, son, I think you're too small now."
Really?
Yeah.
That was the end of your rugby career?
That was the end of it. So it's a waste, right? It's a waste.
It's a terrible waste because I see you now as a... No, you're really not. It's a hard game. I went to a rugby match while I was in England. Rugby... I don't think Americans know the difference between rugby league and rugby union.
Nor do we.
there are some nuanced differences. I mean, size of the team, for one.
13 versus 15.
15, yeah, on your team, 13 on ours. I say ours, because I'm from the north of England, where rugby league was a thing.
And who did you follow?
Leeds.
Leeds, of course.
Leeds. We love you, Leeds, Leeds, Leeds. Oh, I went to a game when I was just back there. It's a fabulous game. I mean, there used to be a sort of tension between the two codes.
Yes. But not anymore.
I don't think so anymore.
You know what? I lived in Australia for 3 years.
Ah.
And like Australian rugby and Australian rugby league, obviously very good.
Yeah.
Massive for cricket and rugby league in Australia. Hardly anyone played rugby union.
They win everything.
I think about 30 guys play in Australia in total, and they come over and absolutely whop us.
Did you ever see an Australian rules game?
Lots of them.
Did you?
It was fantastic.
Because that is a game that does. They call it Australian rules, and yet there are very few rules.
That's a good observation.
As far as I can tell,
it's anything goes.
Yeah.
I think it's 18 a side. Massive.
18 a side.
I mean, the pitch is like, I mean, just giving for American listeners, it's like probably about three times the size of a football field.
Right.
And it's just chaos. And played by very fit, big Australian men, watched by big, fit Australian men. And then they sing kind of like famous 1950s songs in the crowd. So it's quite a.
Really, what, they're singing like rock and roll songs?
No, it's like, the St. Kilda Saints, so they'll just break into, oh, when the Saints are going to
watch it. Oh, right, yeah.
And all those kind of things. It's odd seeing like 30,000 big Australian drunk men crack into and win the Saints.
But the size of the like 36 men on the field.
Yeah.
It makes me think of like early soccer, when soccer was, you know, whole villages would chase the ball, right?
That's right, yeah. And go from village to village.
That's how soccer was invented.
Has anyone seen my ball, please?
Yeah, it's. I've never seen a game. I just have heard that it's.
It's great fun.
That it's mayhem.
It's great fun. It's. It's amazing going around different countries and the one that's such diverse, different sports.
Well, in Scotland, though, it's famously a tough. It's a tough place, Scotland.
Yes,
it's cold.
Yes.
For a start in the winter, and. And the people can be tough. They can also be big softies, you know. They can also get drunk and have a sing-song.
And give you a big hug.
Right.
Exactly.
And they're very funny as well. Funny, just funny people generally. The language makes for a funny sort of a way of being, you know, Billy Connolly sort of way of being.
Yeah, the dialects between different places, like if I took someone from Aberdeen, Glasgow, just completely different dialects.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what anyone's saying half the time. So I just try and make it up.
It doesn't matter. As long as you're smiling.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. And nodding. Smiling and nodding.
And waving sometimes. But
it doesn't matter. But I was just thinking of your upbringing as a little English boy playing rugby with big, hard... I mean, not...
Scottish guys.
I mean, they're, you know, you were five.
Yeah.
But as you got older and you played rugby with teenagers, big, strapping, spotty, smelly...
Scottish guys.
Scottish lads.
Luckily, I was all right.
Was there much violence? Did you suffer a bit, or did you get good at running away from groups of Scottish men?
The team I played for were pretty rough and violent, but they were very good. But a lot of them made the Scottish team, as in professionally. And
really?
Yeah. So they were good. So I basically ran away. I think I remember one time. Imagine this: like the school first 15. When I was at Dunblane, an Irish school came across just out of the blue. Headmaster came on the tannoy day. First 15, everyone get ready. School's out. We're going to watch a rugby game this afternoon. So like 800 kids. There we are against the Irish. We're all getting psyched up in the changing rooms and that sort of stuff. And we run out, and we're now just like really kind of like grrr, like big bears. And within about 2 minutes, the game was abandoned because there's so many fights on the pitch. There's all the nutty guys from the school who are watching were also running onto the pitch to help us out. So it was just bedlam. So I'm a good advert for Scotland right now, right?
Well, let's think about Dunblane for a minute and play A Town Called Malice by The Jam. How about that?
Definitely.
Makes me think of Somalian soccer. I heard a Somalian soccer player talk on the radio yesterday, and somebody said to him, you know, in Britain, every tackle you made would have been a red card. He said, there's no red cards here. you're lucky if you make it out of the game alive.
Time is short
Yeah, I hope you liked a little bit of toasting there I was doing in the middle of that. Is that what they call that? Where they do the itchy scratchy thing on the kit on the thing? Yeah. DJ, see? Pro. Town Called Malice, the jam. Don't know what happened to the file, but anyway, it sounded a bit scratchy. But Town Called Malice, the jam. Our guest this morning is John Rogers. It's KX93.5's Full English Breakfast. Prove it by playing a little Indian music in the background. Nice. Very British. Do you like a curry?
I love curry. I miss curries. Is it anywhere good in Laguna for a curry?
Not in Laguna, no. There's one Indian restaurant, it's not good.
Oh.
Yes, I mean, I'm not, and I don't care who knows it. Terrible. It's a shame, really, because places full of sort of quasi-Hindus and Buddhists and whatnot, and people that like, let's put it this way, Oriental philosophy, yoga, very mm-hmm. popular.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do yoga?
No.
Don't you? I do. I do. I'm a yoga guy.
I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, no, I'm not very good at it. Terrible. So I'm very embarrassing. On Friday we did it with a bunch of friends of ours at somebody's house, and at the end of it there's a thing called Shavasana.
Mm-hmm.
This is the position where, corpse pose, where you literally just relax. Hands face up to heaven, you just lay, and you literally just lay there for a few minutes.
That sounds nice.
It's very nice. At the end of a tortuous stretching exercise for an hour, yeah. This is your last, final position where you just... Well, I always fall asleep, every time, and I always, because I'm on my back, snore. So it's and nobody cares because they all know me. They're whatever, you know.
Yeah.
If you're over 50, you're entitled to be a bit revolting. And but I was embarrassed.
You know, I've got a similar problem. If I go, like, I work pretty hard, but I sometimes fall asleep at dinner.
Do you?
Just like, because I'm not. I know it sounds very rude, but I'm so tired. And it's like,
you're just bored of the company.
I could, just fall asleep on a dime.
Is it something in the food?
I don't know.
You've got to be careful what you eat. You don't eat turkey because that's full of, what's it? Tryptophan or whatever that.
Tryptophan, what is that?
It's a chemical that makes you go to sleep. It's why people fall asleep after Thanksgiving or Christmas lunch.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
If they eat turkey for that, yeah.
So I should just always take turkey with me just in case my wife gets angry at me again.
If you have insomnia anytime, a turkey leg. Yeah.
That's good. It's a top tip.
Turkey leg in a little pill box. You need a pill box.
Who needs those medicines and drugs?
You need a pill box Monday through Friday, like that, with the names of the days of the week on it. And a little turkey leg in each one.
You can have different parts of the turkey for each day.
Sure. See which works best for you.
Exactly.
You know, it could be different. Experiment, actually.
I'll try it tonight.
Yeah. But a curry is a Scottish... Even though, of course, it's an Indian thing, it is a Scottish thing. A lot of Indian people in Scotland and a lot of very good curry.
Masses. And every time I go back, first day, it's either haggis or curry.
Wow.
And either one.
I can't eat the haggis. That's a terrible thing.
Haggis is beautiful.
Is there a curried haggis available? Probably is by now, yeah.
We're not shy.
Yeah.
Actually, there is. You know pakora?
A vegetable pakora, usually, yeah.
Haggis pakora.
Really?
Beautiful. Beautiful. It is gorgeous.
Good for the Scots. Why wouldn't they?
Exactly.
No. So explain the haggis thing to me, because nobody's ever really been able to explain. First of all, what is actually in it?
So it's all the bits of the sheep you don't want to talk about.
Right, the giblets, shall we say.
Yes.
Internal organs?
Yes.
Right.
And then it's put into the sheep's stomach, and that's used as the bag to hold it.
An actual sheep's stomach is used to stuff...
Yeah.
This is not completely foreign to me because I'm Jewish and there's a thing called kishka. It's the same thing. It's a sheep, but it's a sheep's...
So you should love it.
No, I don't like kishka. It's disgusting.
Oh.
Yeah. Go on, do carry on.
So haggis, and then
and
you...
spices of some kind.
Yeah, oatmeal and spices in there. You have it with neeps and tatties, which is mashed potato and mashed turnip.
Yeah.
And it's just a delight. I love it.
Lovely.
I love it. I'd actually go back.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Obviously, we have a deep fried haggis as well. Haggis.
Well, you've got deep fried everything.
Haggis and fries, beautiful. Can soak up anything.
Yeah.
Soak up anything.
Well, I would give it another try. If somebody was to say to me, this is a particularly good...
McSween's haggis.
McSween's?
Yeah.
This is the name of a company that creates them.
Yeah, that's the best one out there. Beautiful McSween's haggis. I think the Americans have just loosened their regulations so that haggis can now come in.
Really? There was a regulation against haggis?
Yeah.
What's wrong with this country?
I don't know.
Talk about freedom. You know what?
They're very strict on haggis, right?
Next time somebody says, freedom to me in some context or other, politically, I'm going to say, well, what about the Haggis Law?
Exactly.
You know?
It took a lot of lobbying.
The McSweens, you know, they haven't got the money for that stuff, no. For the lobbying.
No. And the story that we always say to Americans is that Haggises are just a little creature, two long legs, two short legs, and they run down hills.
It's a wind-up for the Americans, isn't
exactly.
it? Because
so
they think
just
it's a real thing.
So all we had to do is just wait at one side because it all looks come around.
Now, is it now to explain this again, because I've forgotten already, the gut of which animal is the bag?
Sheep.
It is a sheep's bag, yeah. Same thing, okay. And then they just shove, basically, they take the sheep apart. Wait a minute, let me get this right. You take a sheep apart, you kill a sheep.
Yes.
You take all its guts out, sorry, Rosie. And you, then you take its gut out and just shove its bits inside the gut. There's something really a bit creepy about this.
It is, I haven't really thought about it that much, and now you've said it.
It sounds like the work of a serial killer.
It sounds pretty, sounds pretty evil, really, in lots of different ways. Yeah.
Yeah. When we come back,
yes,
remind me, because I want to talk to you about there's a story, I'm not talking about turkey, but it's not a bad segue into a chicken story, a dog and a chicken.
Yes.
Where the dog met the chicken.
That sounds good.
We'll come back and do that in a second. John Rogers is here. It's KX935's Full English Breakfast. How about the Rolling Stones? Sympathy for the Chicken.
Oh, my favourite.
Oh, Devil, sorry.
Please to meet you.
I have a plan to do an entire album of chicken songs, like songs by famous people, but with chickens singing them, and that would be a really good one. Bark, bark, would be a brilliant one there. Rolling Stones, and a track called Sympathy for the Devil off of Beggar's Banquet, 1968. Amazing, isn't it?
What a great song.
And he's 74, you say? Just
he
Googled
is,
him.
74. 74 years old and looking younger each day.
It's still, you know, he's one of those guys like, maybe like Ringo Starr, who I've sort of forgiven for his lack of self-awareness. But it's a bit weird, 74, to be like stomping around the stage. You know what I mean? I can't, because nobody can see me doing it, but my, you know, my, doing the big, the lips out and the fingers pointing. It's amazing that
it's
he's
impressive.
Got the energy.
He's bucking a trend, Jason. He's
he certainly is at 74. Listen, I was going to make a joke about, you know, about him dying, but I don't want to make any jokes about rock stars dying at the moment.
No.
Not since we lost Tom Petty this week, and they just keep going one after another. You know, I'm done with that. Yeah. Although, I must say that the Beatles are dying in the wrong order. Aren't they?
Yes. In terms of...
Well, I don't think... No, it's a terrible thing to say. And I've made that joke 80 times already on the radio. People are going, all right, Jason, yeah. I've got a thing about Paul McCartney. It annoys me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know why. Oh. Just saying.
You have to let go.
You're not a dog owner now.
Not right now, no.
Oh, I should say it's John Rogers.
Yes.
I'm Jason Fenwick, John Rogers, KX93.5, Full English Breakfast.
Some random person.
You don't
person.
Know that by now. You put the radio on, you're driving around town and you hear these two sort of Brit voices. Like, what's this?
How did they get on?
John lives around here, as do I. How long have you been here in California?
Nearly 4 years.
4 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Beautiful place.
You're happy?
Very lucky.
Yeah.
Very lucky, man.
I know. We talked about some of the things you miss, but tell us a story. There's a great story that your wife told me about a dog and a chicken.
Yes. So when I was young, I owned a beagle, a little beagle dog, terrible, didn't train it. So it used to love to run away to get chased.
Ah.
And then my parents were away on holiday, so I was looking after the dog in the house, and the back door blew open. My dog ran out. He was named Luke. And you started barking at me saying, hey, I'm about to run.
They do like to be chased, don't they?
Oh, they love it.
And that's so when
absolutely
they're running away, that my dog used to do it very often recently, but she would do that thing of running.
Yeah.
And you think because you think she's running away from me, but she's not. She just wants to be literally
chased.
So
it was then, I then did it. There's a couple of scenes. The first scene was like the Grand National, the big horse race in the UK where I'm jumping over fence after fence and people are in the back garden.
This is a neighborhood of houses stuck close together with fences and backyards sort of back gardens.
So, saying sorry about this, jumping over. And then the last house, he's there and he's just at the front door now of this house and he's looking at me and I'm going, Luke, please don't go in the house. Please just don't go
in. What you've got to do is you have to stop. The dogs are like men. They only chase that which retreats. And they'll only run if they are chased.
I think I made lots of mistakes there.
Yeah.
So he went into the house and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm now going into a neighbor's house. And this is probably about half a mile away from my house. So just to give you an idea of how long I've run so far. So I'm going in the house going, trying to say hello, see if anyone's in the house, right? And then I hear a big commotion.
The door is open to this house.
It was a beautiful sunny day. It was a very rare day in Scotland that it was sunny.
Right.
Everyone's, you know, doors were open.
Right, so even in Scotland, when the sun's out, the doors are open, the level of violence goes down a few notches.
Correct. Right. We're all saying, what's that big yellow fella up in the sky? We haven't seen it for a few years.
Right.
So I walk through, I'm shouting out hello, seeing if anyone's there. And then I hear a big commotion in the kitchen because it's about 6 o'clock in the evening.
How old were you at this time?
I was 16, 17.
Okay. So you're a big lad.
Yeah.
Not like you're a little child.
No. So I shouldn't be like I'm a stranger in a house.
Yeah.
So I run through and there's my dog on the actual dining room table.
On the table.
With the roast chicken in his mouth.
Ah.
And the family sitting down for a roast chicken dinner. And obviously there's pandemonium.
They must have been aghast.
They were.
Was anybody trying to get hold of the dog?
Well,
which of course will retreat if it's chased.
So my dog, because he loves getting chased, runs into the garden with a massive roast chicken in his mouth. And so all five of us are running around him in the garden. So I jump onto my dog.
Is anybody laughing? Nobody's laughing.
They're just in shock. The bit that makes me laugh now is that I take the chair. I'm actually rugby tackle my dog.
Well, you were good
at that. And his eyes were lolling because it was a really nice roast chicken, by the way. And I managed to get the roast chicken
rolling.
And I managed to get the roast chicken out of his mouth. And I don't know, I was only 17, and I wasn't the most eloquent of guys, and I just hand it back to the father, thinking I've done a good job to save the roast chicken. So I hand it back.
Has the dog eaten any of the chicken?
Oh, it was massive.
Loads of
massive. It was a carcass now. So I hand back a carcass to the guy, to the father, and he was just, I don't know, he was just slack-jawed. He didn't really say anything to me, he just looked at me. I'm going, I'm really so just dreadfully sorry, and blah, blah, blah. And I take my dog and sort of say bye-bye.
just
walked away. And the girl, Maureen Savage was her name, and she was in the same year as me at school. Next day I was saying to her, I'm really sorry, but is everything
okay? In school, you saw the...
And she was just saying, I think my dad's just still in shock. He's still at the dining room table, just...
Off. Only, you know, these days it would have been videoed in a heartbeat. One of the kids would have had his phone out. Such a shame it wasn't filmed.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
So you can tell the story very well. So it's, you know, we get the gist of it. It's the dog's eyes rolling.
Oh, he was loving it, and he's looking at me going, "Oh, thanks for letting me out."
Thank you, Daddy.
Oh, where to next? Hurry.
Well, that just tells you, you know, you've got to be careful in other people's houses.
Yes.
This is just a cautionary tale for your daughter Rosie, who's here,
yes,
playing on the pink iPad.
If we ever have a dog, you have to train the dog.
Yeah. It'll never happen.
Because I didn't do it. Really
if she
well.
Gets a dog, it'll wind up being your dog. You do know that's the
I
way it works.
That. I know that, yeah.
John Rogers is here. It's KX935's Full English Breakfast. Great story. Here's Madness.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. You can't hang around. In the middle of our street, our house. In the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. Our house. In the middle of our street, our house. In the middle of our gets up late for work. Mother has to iron his shirt. Then she sends the kids to school. Sees them off with a small kiss. She's the one they're going to miss in lots of ways.
Yes, our house madness. If you're having Sunday lunch, just beware. Buyer beware that John Rogers' dog might be running around looking for chickens. It's KX93.5. It's Laguna's only FM radio station, and we're doing Full English Breakfast here on the radio. I need to play a spot by the British Hair Company because they are our lovely sponsors, and then we'll be back in a second.
Napoleon. Are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire!
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
Yeah, God save the Queen. Quite right, too. How do you feel about the Queen, John? Do you fancy her?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's your patriotic duty.
Yes.
To fancy the Queen.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's going strong.
Yes, she is. Doing all right.
I'm not too sure Prince Charles will get a go.
Right. Poor old Charlie.
I think she'll go to...
Tragic figure.
Yeah, I think she'll go to about 125.
Yeah, and just to spite him.
Yes.
You're like, no bloody way. I don't think so. Yeah. Who's next in line? One of his kids.
Prince William.
William, that's right. He'd be all right, William.
He'll be good.
He's got a sweet face.
He does.
Nice looking fella.
Yeah.
Let's talk about music.
Yes.
Because we're not even out of your childhood yet, and it's 10 to 10. We're coming up to 10 to 10.
Whoops.
Yeah, I know. It's the same every week. So, when you left school, when did you leave school? Did you do A-levels and stuff like that?
In Scotland, we have a completely different system.
S-levels.
Well, it's like O-grades, highers, and then S-levels. So... Only known to
but there
Scotland.
Can be only one.
And there can only be
I think
one.
Of it as being like the Highland Games. Haggis chucking. Which, by the way, again, haggis, it's a terrible thing. They take the worst bits of the sheep. All the giblets and other stuff plus nobody wants to eat.
Plus any chickens walking by.
Dogs would turn their nose up at this.
Yes.
And then they throw the rest of the sheep away, just throw away.
I know.
Just shear it. Take the wool for a kilt. The sporran or whatever the hell it is, and then they just eat the and then all the best bit of the what do they do with it? They should send it to England.
I think we do.
To boarding school, like they do with the rest of them. Posh Scottish kids. Anyway, what was the matter? Music, yes.
Music, yes.
Did you get into music when you at school, or you always a fan of music, or did you...
Loved it at school, but then when I went to Glasgow, I went to see lots of bands at the Barrowlands, which is a famous music venue.
With a bouncy floor.
Bouncy floor, yeah. Fantastic. Like Brixton Academy in London as well, bouncy floor. So saw Chili Peppers... Stone Roses.
Did you ever see Runrig? Do you remember them?
Runrig. Kirsten liked Runrig. I wasn't a big fan of
really,
Runrig.
I toured with them.
Did you?
Yeah. They had a manager called Marlene.
Marlene?
Big woman with a moustache. Yeah. Marlene.
I can't even grow a moustache. Oh, I'm envious already.
She kicked me off the stage once.
Did she?
Said some words to me that I couldn't repeat on the radio, certainly not in front of Rosie.
Were you being a naughty boy?
No, I was just standing on the stage, but she called me a wee English, you know what. Get off my stage, you wee English. I've never forgotten it. She totally traumatised me. She was enormous.
But you've played the Barrowlands, right, in Glasgow?
Yeah, I played it with, I think I played with Runrig.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember. Played a couple of times there. Once with Midgeur.
Midgeur from nice Ultravox?
Yeah, brilliant. Nice guy.
Vienna.
And, yeah, exactly.
Oh.
And also with, I think, with Runrig, who very Scottish.
Yeah. They weren't quite my thing. I was more of a big country.
What was his name? Donny.
Yeah.
The singer.
Donny, yeah. I was more big country, Simple Minds.
Right. Well, they did a thing with Big Country, didn't they, Runrig? Were they something to do with them? They did some album together. I don't know. But again, very Scottish.
Very Scottish indeed. But a lot of good music came from England, though. All your Stone Roses, Happy Mondays.
Yeah, well, that's definitely your era, the Manchester scene.
Oh, I loved it.
We'll play something from Primal Scream in a bit, and there's also, we've got a Kasabian track lined up.
Oh.
But there's a band here that I had not heard of. Temperance Movement.
Temperance Movement. So, this is, I saw them up in a little LA warehouse. They've got a Scottish singer, and the rest of the band's from Oxford, England. Just fantastic. Sort of a mix between the Rolling Stones and the... Counting Crows. It's just brilliant. Brilliant music.
You've got that sort of Americana feel.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember seeing the support band before they came on, and there's this real nutter guy in the audience just dancing around. I was going, oh, that looks like a typical Scottish guy. They have them in LA as well. It's fantastic.
They're everywhere.
But no, it was actually the singer of the band.
They're everywhere, though.
He's brilliant.
Scottish nutter dancing to everything. Often with a dog on a string if you're at a festival.
And he had turkey as well with him and chicken.
It was high on haggis, John.
Yes.
So we'll play a track from them. I mean, as I say, they're new to us here. This track's from 2013. The album's called Temperance Movement.
Yes. And
funny that they're called Temperance Movement when it sounds like the singer likes a pint.
Yeah, I think he does. I've met him a couple of times. Great guy.
All right.
Which song did you choose?
We chose Ain't No Telling.
Oh, great.
And again, it's John Rogers on Full English Breakfast here. KX935's English show or British show or whatever you like to think of it. That, you know, nothing unites like a common enemy, so we don't really care.
Sing hallelujah, girl, you know it ain't so bad. I wanna thank you for the time that we had. Let me tell you about a little revolution circling around my brain. Tell you all about it if you ever see me again.
Really cool. That is totally cool. Yes. Yes, I like that a lot. A lot, a lot.
KX935.
Yeah, I never heard of them before. Temperance Movement there, and a track called Ain't No Telling, but it's a track brought in by our guest this morning on Full English Breakfast, John Rogers. And, yeah, very cool stuff indeed. In fact, while that was on, I was sending it to... I was sending a link to it to our music director, Steph Weinberg, because she will love that. It's generational alt rock. It's kind of music that's new music that sounds like old music.
Yeah,
so it's,
yeah,
it's perfect for us.
Gives me goosebumps, that song.
Yeah, really very cool indeed. So, you moved out of your family home.
Yes.
Where did you go? You got to college?
Went to Glasgow University, did aerospace engineering.
It's unusual, isn't it? A lot of people in Britain tend to go to college as far away from their family home as they possibly can. Whereas you were, sort of, you know, you're quite close by, really.
40 miles, yeah. But Glasgow, I want
40
to go
miles
to...
a long way in Scotland. It's a long way by donkey, isn't it? Long way by haggis.
By sheep.
Yeah.
We just ride on the top of a sheep.
And you went to be an engineer.
Yeah, aerospace engineering. So I wanted to be a pilot, like Top Gun, like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, you had that idea, yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm not very good at driving, parking, or flying.
Ah.
So that was a small detail that I forgot. So,
is that a thing that pilots often do, like learn about the planes first, like do engineering first?
A lot of them are, yeah. A lot of them are really aeronautic engineers, and if you're not, they'll put you through your paces and understanding how a plane flies, which I still find amazing, that a plane still flies.
Oh, no. It's amazing. Do you know what's amazing? Really, because I say that to Ava every time we get on a plane. It's how amazing. Does this ever happen? All right, the thing goes forward. I get it, right?
Yep.
And I can get the idea of sort of this air underneath the wing, and then the thing lifts. Because if you do, you know, when you're a kid, you run around the playground with your coat.
That's right.
On your back, and you sort of... And so I get the idea of it, but it's a... The thing weighs a billion tons.
It is unbelievable. I sometimes think maybe like physics goes, oh, I got it wrong, and everything just falls out of the sky.
And the thing is, why didn't they come up with it 2,000 years ago? It's not like... I don't know. It's not rocket science, how a plane gets off the ground.
It is rocket science.
Is it?
Oh, okay. It's amazing.
Right.
It's pretty...
Like I say, it is rocket science.
But no, I did that for 4 years.
But it's mechanical. It's a mechanical thing. It's not like... It's not a computer. It's not digital. It's air underneath a...
Ah, right. I see where you're going. So it's fluid dynamics.
Okay.
So air is a fluid.
Well, I'm glad we've got, like... 3 minutes left to discuss how a plane gets off the ground. But do go on.
Fluid dynamics. So imagine that type of shape of an
shape
air
of the wing.
Shape of the wing and the camber, which is
the slope of it.
Yep.
Right.
As air pushes across it,
right.
Obviously the different pressures in the airs underneath and on top causes lift, and off you go. There you go. That is today's lecture.
Right, but the shape of the wing itself, that's what they would never have gotten prior to the Wright brothers or whoever.
Correct. So do you remember Concorde?
Yes,
amazing plane.
Very well.
So the Russians stole the blueprints of Concorde, but what they didn't see on that blueprint was the curvature of the wing. So
they could never get the thing off the ground.
Correct.
He got a big nose, the big pointy nose.
There you go.
But they couldn't get the wing bit.
Shall we move to pant ripping?
Yes, quickly, we've got to do the pant ripping story.
Sure.
And begin.
Do you want to start first?
Well, I don't know anything about it, so you tell me. Oh, my pant ripping story.
Yeah.
Oh, I've ripped pants getting on and off stages all my career.
Really?
Well, you were, you know, when you're younger anyway, you wear sort of tight pants because you're on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Trousers, really.
Yes.
What I'm trying to say. And then you've got to lift your leg up 3 feet or 4 feet to get on a stage. And, you know, and they get sweaty, the pants.
Yes.
Over time, the sweat will eat through the material of the pant, so it becomes thinner and less robust.
Correct.
So when you lift your leg up, eventually they're going to go, and it's often before the gig. So you've got to make sure you've always got a second pair of pants with you before you do that. I've done it before. I did it at the Festival of Arts, actually, about 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I had to do the whole gig with a big rip in my pants. Big rip.
Big rip. So in
it goes along the seam, you know.
Exactly.
So,
So my professional career, I've been in IT and technology for 20 years,
yeah.
Ripped my pants 5 times at work. The worst being when I was flown over to the States. I still live in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Went for a big meeting.
Yes.
Big client, all that sort of stuff. In the Midwest, I'm sitting there. I'm about half the age of all the people in the room. So I was about 28, 29. These guys were about 50, 50 plus. And I was pretty nervous. And I was doing this little presentation about what I'm going to do. And it's very dull IT stuff. Anyway, I didn't see a little hook underneath the table. As I got up to point to something at the screen, it caught my trouser pocket and ripped it all the way down to the knee.
Yeah.
And then there was like a couple of seconds where it just kind of held together still. And then it was like a creaky door and just kind of like went wide open. So literally, you could see everything. Didn't have the best knickers on that day.
Ah, really? Well, that's a lesson as well.
That's a lesson as well, right?
So
there's about 8 guys in the room, and the chief guy there was in absolute... Well, there's 2 second silence, and then he was in absolute hysterics. Then he went out the room, his massive open plan office floor, it's about 200 people, and he just shouts out, "The boys ripped his pants." So he came back in with staples. So they stapled it all together.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. And then
engineers, you see.
Engineers, right? And then I was taken around to meet 200 people
right.
with my
With your pants and staples.
With pants and staples.
I'm glad they found a way to fix it for you.
It was good. It was good. But that's, yeah.
That's one of many pant ripping stories, is it?
Yeah. I've ripped it in on aircraft. I've ripped it in, worked for a big bank in the UK, and just before a big presentation in front of the board, bent over, ripped right in the middle of my crack.
It sounds to me like you. There's a certain degree of self-sabotage going on here.
Maybe. Maybe
it might be subconscious.
The impression that one with the bank, imagine like it's ripped from your crotch area right the way up back up to your belt. I mean, right. Massive. And I'm just about to do a board presentation.
You've got to get you some pants that are more, you know, that will stay together. Well, maybe it's leather.
Leather.
The trouble with leather pants, you can't wash them. So I always think, I've never had any leather pants because I always think, I need to, after a gig, at every gig, I have to wash. If I do a gig, the pants have to get washed immediately after the gig.
Really?
Yeah, because you can't, you know, Betty Swallocks.
Yeah, that's not a nice look.
No, it's not a smell good, isn't it? It doesn't feel right the next day because it leaves a certain residue behind as well, kind of salty residue, which nobody... Sorry, John. All right. So, thanks for that.
No worries.
You've been here for an hour. It's time to go, unfortunately. I'm sorry to say because we... Really, always the same way. About 10 to 10, I get in my stride. And so now I'm like...
I was just warming up.
Ready to talk for another hour. But it's Full English Breakfast. We have a British person on every week. And it's been absolute pleasure today. And thank you to Kirsten, your lovely wife, for sending your info my way.
Yeah.
And Rosie's been here on the iPad. What are you doing, Rosie?
She's doing Minecraft.
Is it Minecraft or
yes,
Minecraft? Minecraft.
Minecraft. She's obviously really...
This is Minecraft. It's a German thing now. She's not even looking at me. She's like, what the hell? What an idiot. You don't know what Minecraft is. You're a fool.
I can see she's been very excited about listening to our chat this morning.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, we're going for breakfast now, Rose. Breakfast! Yay! I'm not even that interested in that. Okay. Good. I always have this effect on children.
I know.
We're going to play Primal Scream to go out, and we're going to talk to you, you know, do this again next week. We'll talk to you again, I hope, soon, and thank you so much
for the invite.
Dead good. Loved fun. It. Have we missed anything out? No, forget it.
Don't worry.
Yeah, don't mind, does it?
Next time.
Here comes the bacon.
Ooh.